Hi, sweets. Welcome back. I'm Barbie Jean, your host. And today on Sweet Release, we are doing another Ask Me Anything episode. I have some anal questions. I have some kinky questions. As always, some guidance for many of you and some fun, just personal questions to answer too. So let's get into it. Welcome to Sweet Release. First question, can you describe the difference between sucking a cock and eating a girl out? So yeah, completely different sensations and feelings, but definitely similar in a lot of ways. Sucking a dick is, you know, obviously it's penetrating. So there's a sense of like creating a tension. I definitely encourage when I'm guiding people or when giving tips and tricks on how to suck it good. I think, you know, the tightness, creating a tightness with your mouth. Obviously, you don't want to get your teeth involved. So kind of creating that tight friction of your lips over your teeth, over the shaft. And then, you know, sloppy is really good. So licking it aggressively, getting your tongue involved, not just going up and down with your lips, like making sure your tongue is out of your mouth. I love going deep down the shaft and licking the balls with my tongue if you're able to go deep enough to do that. Obviously, it depends on the size of the dick as well, but that's really fun. I like to have my tongue out and kind of running up and down as I'm going up and down it, but I also like to then put my tongue inside my mouth and just get the tip. And so there's definitely a range of ways that you can please your partner, and everyone has different preferences. So that's why I like to do a little bit of everything and see how your partner responds and see what gets them going. But even with my partner now, I do different techniques all the time. I think it's just fun to do a range. It's fun to really get all up in there. So yes, make it sloppy, get it wet and wild. Obviously, lube feels really good when you're having sex. And so anytime that you can get it wet, spit on it, all of that can feel really sensational. Also, you know, like I mentioned the balls a little bit earlier, yeah, get those involved too, or the taint or the booty, you know, get your hands involved, not just on the shaft to rub and create that tension and friction, but also the balls, tickle those babies, rub the taint, maybe put a finger in the butt, you know, just get the other areas and the other regions involved, and that will create a fantastic experience for your partner. Now, as far as eating pussy, you know, that's not as penetrative because the clit is outside of, you know, the vagina, and the clit is on top of the vulva. So it's that little ball. A lot of people call it that little bean. Sometimes it's hidden by a hood, but some vulvas, it's like kind of protruding out of there, but it's at that top, the top of the vulva. And that, again, that area has so many nerve endings. It just has thousands and thousands. But it also moves down to the lips and moves inside of you. The whole clit is very long and large. And so, again, getting that whole erogenous zone involved is very important. But just start when you're licking the clit. I think it's really, or just when you're eating someone out, I think it's important to obviously focus on the clit. Like that's the easiest region to make a woman climax is the clit. Like it's just the easiest way. So focus on that. Obviously, I love getting other areas involved. I like to, you know, lick the lips, especially if they're, you know, creaming or coming a little bit or juices are coming out of them. Like go down to that hole and lick that up and bring it back up to the top and make it a little more juicy and wet. Like I mentioned with sucking cock, like any way that you can make it juicy and wet and delicious, spitting on it. All of that I think is just really fun. Again, obviously people have different preferences. Some people might not be into the spitting thing, but from my experience, most people that are kinky and sexual are like, yes, fuck yeah, that feels so good. I also encourage you to, like I mentioned, getting the balls and the taint and the booty involved. You can also get the lower regions involved with a woman too. So I call knuckle love one of my favorite things, not fully inserting fingers, which also actually feels fantastic, but maybe starting with a knuckle, seeing how the partner is responding and seeing how that feels, you know, inserting them a little bit inside and just getting some knuckle love while you're licking it. But then also inserting fingers. I think that's a really great way to hit that G spot or hit that huge A spot, erogenous zone, anterior wall of the internal vaginal cavity. And that can also stimulate a powerful orgasm and also lead to blended orgasms if you're stimulating inside as you're getting the outer clit area. So that can just be fantastic. And then as always, you know, explore the booty if you're feeling up to it. So those are just some of my tips and tricks. But again, everyone is so different. So sometimes you're not able to have that conversation ahead of time. And that's okay. I just think, and sometimes it's weird to be like, oh, what do you like? Some people are, you know, put off by that. And it can be, you know, kind of off-putting for some. So I, again, if I'm having a new experience with a lover and we're doing oral, which you should always do, I think it's a great, you know, it's just a great precursor to sex. And it's a great buildup to get you in the mood and get you ready and excited. And I just really encourage you to listen to your partner. Listen to their body, you know, listen to the quivers and the shakes. When are they most in tune with your body? When are they moving towards you? When are they squealing and squirming back? Or when are they moaning or making noises with their bodies? Like listen to that. And that's going to give you the cues to keep doing what you're doing. And the other thing I didn't mention is eye contact. I just think that's so huge when you're giving oral. Eye contact, just look them in the eyes. Like that is so sexy to me. And I just think that is a key component of like a fantastic blowjob or, you know, eating out session with somebody. So anyways, let's move on. Next question. Do you get a sense of satisfaction when you're sucking or eating? Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I've mentioned having an oral fixation in the past. I love things in my mouth. I love like just... it's so sensual and erotic to me. And it is just one of my favorite things. So yes, of course I'm satisfied by it. But I think a lot of people, when they're pleasing a lover or a partner, you're satisfied. You're feeling good. Like pleasure is very satisfying. Like afterwards, it's really good to be like, damn, I crushed that. Like, yes, they came, I came, like it was fantastic. Like, I think that's what's so satisfying too, is like, you're able, there's like, it's just easily gratifying because it's like, you know, fireworks, or, you know, you're laying there and you're all like, oh my God, that felt so good. Or the actual like cum shot too is like rewarding. You know that you did something good. So yes, of course it's satisfying. I think that's what's really awesome too about these situations, is they can really boost your mood. And that's why sex is so fantastic, is it is a mood elevator. It is not just a connection experience, but it can also make you feel more confident about yourself and more confident about your skills. And so, yeah, treat that cock or that pussy like you fucking love it. And, you know, if you don't love it, then I don't know what to tell you. You're crazy. It's so nice. Okay, moving on. Next, just recently broke up with a girlfriend of 2 years, decided to try out Grindr. Ooh, this guy was 10 inches and made me take it all. I came without touching myself 3 times and then he jerked me until I came while he was fucking me. This was the best experience I've ever had. What do I do now? I'm having an identity crisis. Okay. This is a lot. Thank you so much for sharing. I am so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. But yes, of course, you are questioning yourself. You're unsure what to do next. Just know that although you're questioning your identity, your sexuality does not have to define you. It is just a part of you, and you don't have to put a label on this. You don't have to understand yourself. But yeah, you should lean into this best experiences that you had. You have to lean into that. it felt so magical and so incredible. Like you really, I want you to lean into that. So what was it about the experience? Was it the taboo? Was it that 10-inch cock? Was it the masculine energy? Like, was it being with a man? You know, like, is this something that you've been longing for? Ask yourself these questions. This is what you have to do next, is ask yourself these questions and, you know, maybe write, do a little journaling, trying to figure out, like, dive into that mind and that heart and be like, okay, what was it about that experience that felt so incredible? Was it the prostate pleasure? That's another thing, is maybe, you know, maybe you are attracted and were in love with your girlfriend of 2 years, but you wanted to be doing more different, you know, regions of exploration, like prostate pleasure. Or, you know, maybe the truth is that you do really, like, it does sound like you fucking loved getting fucked. And so there is a chance that you are on the spectrum of sexuality that you didn't know. And so I just encourage you to lean into it, check out Grindr again, you know, have some other experiences. And, you know, not one experience defines you, but I do think, like, the more you tap into your body and your pleasure zones, the more you will begin to understand what you like and what you, you know, what you want to just have for the rest of your life. Because that's the biggest part too, is like, you want, most people want partners for life. And so do you imagine your partner in life being someone like this Grindr person or someone more like your ex, you know? And that's okay to not know. I think it's just great to explore. And I also encourage you to watch the episode with Sammy, where we talk a lot about him being queer, and he talks about a lot about his internalized homophobia, and his experience and journey is just very refreshing to hear, because I think a lot of people feel like you have to come out, you have to do this, you have to, like, share with people and express, you know, yourself and all of that. But the truth is, you don't have to do that. You can just take your time. You don't have to tell anyone about this. You can just explore it personally until you kind of figure out what it is that you know about yourself. And that's when you can start opening up to people that you trust. And, you know, opening up to even these lovers, like, did that person even know that this was your first time? My guess is probably not. So maybe the next time you have an experience with someone, you can be like, you know, I really am exploring this. Like, I would love for you to, you know, take it slow with me, or, like, can we have this conversation before we tap into it? But, you know, sometimes it is just fun to just dive in. So I definitely think you just need to listen to your body, listen to yourself, and see what feels good. And yeah, I really appreciate you reaching out to me. I think it's totally normal to be feeling like you're having this identity crisis and you don't know what to do next. But what you need to do is just take it slow. Take your time, lean into these incredible sensations that are, like, the best feelings ever. I want you to have the best sweet releases ever. So just lean into it and see how it goes. And please check in with me. I'd love to see how your journey unfolds. Okay, next. Hi, Barbie. I love hearing these secret gay romance stories. I too had a queer relationship with a boy on my cross country team. Woohoo. It started with me staring at his dick in his short shorts and ended with us fucking outside during our practice runs. There was more than one meet I was focused on. LOL. Haha. Yes. Man meat. Yum. So thank you for sharing this. This is amazing. I hope you enjoyed this previous, you know, story too, or, you know, question. It is fun. I agree. I love hearing these, you know, hidden queer relationships, and it's fun to hear people's stories and their confessions, and yeah, I agree with that. I love it too. So thank you so much for sharing. Next. So I recently took some time to reflect on a popular myth for boys in my high school. You're only gay if you're a bottom. In other words, you couldn't have a guy suck your dick and fuck his ass without being considered gay. Do you think this was something that closeted gay guys would use as a cover? So yeah, perhaps it could have been something closeted gay guys used as a cover, but I also think it's a way for guys to accept themselves more. Like, I think, you know, with your exploration of sexuality and even same-sex thoughts, it still holds a very heavy weight on a lot of people, depending on how you grew up, your religion, like, so many things. And so for these guys, or this rumor, or popular myth in school for at your high school that you're only gay if you're a bottom, like that's an easy way for guys to say like, oh, I'm not gay, even though I let him suck my dick, or even though I fucked him in the ass. That's a way for them to feel more comfortable in themselves by not putting a label on it, by not being defined as gay, because they have internalized homophobia, because they are uncomfortable with the term gay, because they are uncomfortable with defining themselves as queer. So yeah, I do believe that people use that. What was your terminology specifically? Using it as a cover? Like, I don't know if they're intentionally using it as a cover or just really not accepting themselves for who they are. And, you know, again, these labels don't define us. They are not something that we need to focus on. And so I think ultimately, knowing that the other thing is that, you know, our pleasure is a spectrum, just like our sexuality is a spectrum. So even if you're exploring anal pleasure, that doesn't mean you're gay. That doesn't mean you want to be with men. But if you are having some sort of sexual intercourse with a man, that does mean that you are on the spectrum. So you should welcome that and know that. But it takes a lot of time for people to welcome that, especially in high school, especially depending on what generation you grew up in. And so I do think that there's a lot of layers to it. But yeah, I just don't agree with people saying like, oh, because you do this, you're not this, or because you do this, you're this. You know, everyone is different. Everyone is on their own journey. And there's no definitive way to define the certain sexual acts that you do, making you one way or another. Next. Barbie, I think I have it. An undeniable, foolproof way to know if a man is straight or gay. While having sex with a woman, a man will be fucking his ass at the same time. And whichever sensation makes him come first will decide his fate. Your thoughts. Okay, I know we're on the same topic, the last few questions. That's why I linked them together. But this is comical to me because, one, I mentioned before, these labels, I don't think you need to decide if someone is straight or gay. There are so many, just an array of things in between there. It's not one or the other. It's just, yeah, it's a spectrum. This idea of having a woman, you fucking a woman and also getting fucked in the ass at the same time is like a beautiful image, one. But two, there's no way that could define what sexuality you are. And that's just silly to me. But it's also amazing. Like that would give you an incredible blended orgasm. If you're having some prostate pleasure as well as some penis pleasure, you know, penetrating this woman, and that's just going to give you a huge erogenous zone concoction of pleasure. And I am here for it. And I'm here for that vision. Thank you for that. But in no way would you be able to figure out in which direction your orgasm was coming from. Maybe you could be like, oh, I'm clearly feeling the sensations and the, you know, nerve endings happening more in this side than this side or something. But oh, I just think that's so funny. I don't really think you have it down. I don't think that's a foolproof way to find out someone's sexuality. But it is a great image in my mind. And I do think, again, to reiterate what I said before, is these labels, you know, we don't have to decide based on one way or another if we're straight or gay. We can be pansexual. We can be bisexual. We can just, you know, be open to pleasure in all its forms, but consider ourselves homosexual based on who we fall in love with. So it just depends on your boundaries and your values and what you like and what you don't like, and really just you being authentically you. And the other thing is, anal, again, does not make you gay. You can most certainly want to be fucking a woman, but also want something in your butt. Like, prostate pleasure is literally so fantastic. And I really hate this stigma around it that you're gay if you enjoy butt stuff. And that's just so not true. So again, all you men, please explore your prostate. I really encourage you to do so. Solo practice, partnered practice, all of that. It is fantastic. And that does not have anything to do with your sexuality. Okay, so next. have a few things that I wish that I could talk to you about because I have been feeling embarrassed and a little bit of shame. Could we talk? Yes. Thank you so much for reaching out. So yeah, of course, you can always reach out to me via email, barbiejeanxoinfo@gmail.com. You can always reach out to me via Instagram or Twitter X. Like I definitely think email is the easiest way for me to reply and respond, but social media is also a great way to connect with me. So please do that. I'm happy to be there for you. I'm happy to help. I do kink and intimacy coaching on the side. And so I'm happy to give you some guidance or just like chat a little bit. Okay. Next, have you had an experience with a transsexual? How was it? Okay. So thank you for this question. I do want to educate a little bit about transgender people. First of all, transsexual is kind of an outdated term. It's not something that people use. It can be very, what's the word I'm thinking of? It can just be offensive for people just because it kind of doesn't depict the entire diverse experience of the, you know, gender transition and all of that. So transgender is the proper term that people use today. And in the topic of offensive terms, tranny is also a term that you should never use. That is a derogatory term. And it is just not, it's not a term that you should use. And so now that we got that out of the way, I think it's also important because, you know, this is, it's, if you don't know a lot about transgender people, it's tough to understand these terms and the terminology. And there's so many different ways to kind of interpret it. So I was having a conversation with a transgender woman the other day. And I knew she was a woman. I was like, dude, you look like a woman. Like I could tell that her voice was low. So I like could tell that she had probably been born a man, but she clearly was putting out femme vibes. And as I was talking to her, you know, this was actually a interview for the podcast that'll be airing probably next week. But as I was talking to her, you know, she was saying like, yeah, when I came out and telling me kind of a little background of her story. And I was like, you mean when you came out as a trans? And then I was catching myself and I was like, man, is that right? And I was like, oh shit, no, woman. But I was like transitioning man. Like I was confused at what, you know, I've always thought trans is more of like the transitionary term. And it does have the root word trans, meaning kind of through or, you know, beyond. And so that's kind of where this trans word kind of stems from. But it also embodies this transition word, or it's kind of crossing or transcending these traditional gender boundaries. And I just felt so awful. And immediately I was like, oh no, you're a trans woman. So just know that we're all human. It's okay. It's okay to make these mistakes. But I did want to educate you on this idea that a trans woman is someone that has transitioned into a woman. And a trans man is someone that has transitioned into a man. And that transitioning process could be an array. Like you could just be taking those hormones. You could also undergo surgery. There's like top surgeries and there's all these different kinds of surgeries. There's like forehead, neck surgeries. There's all these different things that you can do to your body to make you feel and look more like the gender that you feel that you are. So I just think it's really important to know these terms. And I was so embarrassed that I fucked up when I was talking to her, but she was so cool about it and was like, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. But anyways, it's good to know that. And it's good to educate yourself. My parents just went to a transgender educational thing that they had at church like not long ago. And I thought that was incredible. But to answer your specific question, have I ever been with a transgender person or had an experience was your question. So I'm actually going to answer this because I did have a pretty profound experience watching this sexy, oh man, she was so sexy. And I didn't even realize she was transgender at first. I was like, holy shit, this girl, she is tall. She's a goddess. She was dressed like a goddess. This was at a Sanctum party, which if you don't know Sanctum, it's this kind of high-end sex party. A lot of these sex parties that are these big productions put on like do a performance to get people involved or get people, you know, excited. And so she was walking out in this goddess outfit and she looked fucking incredible. And then I like, I'm just scanning her up and down. And when she gets it past like the crowd, I see her dick and I'm like, oh my God. And it's like small and flaccid, but she is just strutting. And then she had these huge fake tits and she just, honestly, she was so sexy. And I was so turned on by this dichotomy of body parts that I was like, fuck yes, give me more. Then there's this guy that is also dressed like a god, and he has these two chains, and these two women are connected or attached to these chains, and they're like crawling behind him. And he starts sauntering into the room slowly. And he is also fucking sexy. And these women are kind of in their submissive energy being pulled by him in chains. And they're all entering this sexy goddess in the middle of the room. These two women are kind of being submissive and sauntering around and kind of like touching them. And then the god and the goddess are literally like coming together, and he ends up just starting to fuck her. And it was like so rough and so intense that I was like, holy shit, her butt is must be like so lubed up. And he also had a huge dick. So that was my first experience where I was just so turned on by it, and it was so amazing. And wow, wowie, wowie, wow. I wish I knew who she was and could have her on the podcast. Maybe I'll go down memory lane and see if I can find something. But anyways, she was amazing. Thank you for the question. And thank you for that. Let's move on. Next question. Kink or perversion? I have a thing for seeing people's underwear through their clothes. I get a slight rush every time I see a girl's thong through her dress. I even get excited when I see a guy's brief lines through his shorts. Could this be a kink, or am I being a perv? So yeah, you're not. Let me rephrase that. So no, you are not a perv. Definitely not. That doesn't make you perverted whatsoever. But also, perverted has this negative connotation. I think we all should be a little perverted personally. But kinky wise, yes, this is a little kinky and I like it. Like, I love when you see like bras, like lacy bras under outfits, or I like when like there was a new trend happening, and I don't know if it's still happening in the younger generations, where girls like hoist their thongs like up above their jean line so you can like see their thongs peeking out. So I definitely think that that's like a fashion thing that is sexy when done right. So for you being turned on by seeing this through like men and women, I definitely think that that is totally sexy and totally normal. And I salute you for sharing that with us. And yeah, next time you have a partner or a lover or someone, you know, let them know that that's something you enjoy so that they can intentionally make their underwear visible for you. That's just fun. I think it's really fun to please people. And when you know what they like, it's just a lot easier, and it's a lot more, you know, it's satisfactory. Like we talked about in the beginning, like that satisfaction of pleasing someone that you love or someone that you really care about is so rewarding. And so the moment that you can like give that to your partner by saying, hey, this is what I like, and then they can act on it or do it as they please, like that is just magic. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, I think I just have a couple more. Yes. Hey, Barbie, I want to say that I find your content incredible and I'm looking forward to exploring more about myself, which you helped me open my eyes to. Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask, what are some tips on how to start getting into anal, help introduce a partner to it? So this is a common question that I get, and I feel like I answer it on every AMA, but I'm just going to give you a quick intro because I do have an anal pleasure episode that is an older episode, but it literally gives you all the tips and tricks that you need to know. Ultimately, lube is so important. Taking your time, building up to it, like not going straight to a dick or a dildo, but building up to it with a finger, a plug, and just making sure that you have plenty of foreplay. Like that is the biggest part, because our sphincter muscles are so tight, and because we can tear easily, and because that part of our body is, it just retracts easily because it doesn't, you just have to be careful and you have to take baby steps and you have to take your time. So foreplay activities are really crucial for when you want to explore anal, you know, getting all those juices going and getting them ready, and then starting to, you know, massage the booty and lick the booty and finger the booty or put a butt plug in there, and then maybe doing some other oral, you know, licking and things like that to then really get you charged and ready for that dick or that dildo. So yeah, check out some of my previous episodes where anal is in the title. I know I've gone deeper in depth with this plenty of times, but thank you so much for asking. And if you have any specific questions, as always, reach out to me directly. Okay, two more. Hey, Barbie, you mentioned you were a cheerleader in high school. So did you ever hook up with an athlete or did you ever have sex in your cheerleading outfit? Yeah, duh. Of course I did. My first boyfriend was a football player. My first love of my life was a gymnast and a cheerleader. And so, yeah, we often hooked up with my cheer uniform on, or, you know, it quickly came off or hiked it up or something. So yes, plenty of times. Or thanks for asking. Okay, last one. Barbie, you're so motherfucking hot. Oh, thank you so much. Please give me, a straight man, the confidence to wear a crop top in public. Give me the confidence to wear a Speedo to the pool. I want to be hot and confident just like you. Oh, this is great. So first of all, again, you don't have to define your sexuality to me. I think it's you putting out there, you, a straight man, but wanting to wear a Speedo and wanting to wear a crop top. Like, those are things that are not linked together. It doesn't matter if you're straight or who you are. You should be able to express yourself the way that you want. You should be able to wear a crop top if you want to show off your sexy body. I like men in crop tops, and that is a very European thing, not so much an American thing, but I fully support it. We were at a sex party on Saturday, and that's where I was filming an episode, and that's going to be airing next week. But there was this sexy guy with this crop top on and these short shorts. And obviously it was kind of with the theme of the party, but I was like, damn, you fine. Like, anytime you can show off some skin, show off some leg, I'm like all for it. So in regards to wearing a crop top or a Speedo and feeling confident, ultimately you just have to do what you love. Know your values, know your boundaries, and explore and experience and learn to love yourself, whether that's setting goals for things that make you feel really good, or writing affirmations on your mirror, or saying affirmations out loud to yourself in the mirror. Like, these things are all tools to help you learn to love yourself. And that in turn is going to make you confident. So these things are easily linked. A lot of us that are low self-esteem, low confidence levels, we haven't fully amassed the, that full self-love. And it's really hard. I remember when I didn't love myself, and I still go through phases where I'm insecure about the way I look on camera or insecure about certain things about me. And I think that's all normal. And you should also recognize that it is bold to wear a Speedo. It is bold to wear, you know, a crop top if you're a dude. Like, that's still kind of like a little bit taboo, especially in certain countries. And so I do want you to know that it's okay to be nervous for these things, but also loving your body and loving yourself is just going to make you make that step. So affirmations, body positivity, like, get out of that ego mind and into that, like, respectful, be sweet to yourself, you know, like, be gentle to yourself too. Like, it's okay to have these feelings of insecurities and doubt and, thoughts about the way your body looks in certain outfits. Like, that's completely normal, but know that, like, you are beautiful the way that you are, and learn ways that help you feel that. And other tools could be like meditating. Like, that really can get you in a great headspace that can help you just feel lighter and feel better throughout the day. Therapy is also a great way to practice self-love and just give your body what it needs to move through experiences that maybe are holding parts of shame in your body, or just areas that you need to, like, let go and move through. Or, you know, masturbation. I am a huge fan of just giving yourself self-pleasure. And that can in turn also make you feel really good about yourself. It can be satisfying, but it can also lead you to just respect your body, love your body. And that, I think, in turn is going to give you the confidence to make these bold statements and be bold in your expression. And I want that for you. So thanks so much, guys, for all of these questions. I know it was a lot to get through today, and I'm glad we did it. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for your vulnerability always. Thank you so much. It just means so much to me to be continuing to be creating all of these episodes every week for y'all. And yeah, be sweet. Be sweet to yourself always. Be sweet to those connections that you're making always. Be sweet. Please be sweet and welcome those sweet releases. You deserve them, any and all forms that they come, and be sweet to those delicious sensations that happen. All right, y'all. Talk to you soon. Much love. See you next time. Bye.